This podcast is part of the Zio to Hero Podcast Network.
AvenuePodcast.net.
Hello, all my beautiful people. It's time for another fun episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast, and this one is going to be awesome. I am really excited for you guys to be here to hear this episode. If this is your first time listening, then you're in for a real treat. And if you're one of my longtime listeners, welcome back and thank you for being here. And I hope that you really enjoy this too. I have on with me today Cullen Bunn. He is a New York Times best-selling writer. He has wrote stuff for Marvel. He has wrote stuff for DC, Image, Dark Horse. He's done all kinds of horror comics and different books and things like that. And he is just amazing, and I'm really excited to have him on today. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this, and I'm just ready to get into this so you guys can hear all this great content. And for those of you who are here just to listen to the Cullen Bunn episode, welcome. I hope that you enjoy what you hear, and I hope that you stick around and listen to some of the other great episodes I have here as well. So, if you guys are as excited as I am, then let's get this show on the road.
If you give a dad a podcast.
You're bloody welcome.
You know.
Hey, Dad.
If I get my hand stuck in a pickle jar, I'm straight up bowling a china shop, just swinging around.
Started writing songs when I was about 12 or so.
Seriously?
They're retrofitting me now.
And I'm like, yes, finally.
I've also had the opportunity to go train with Royce Gracie and Dan Severin.
Wow.
I like that. That's different. Stands out.
That day I took my very first bump and it was fun.
There's only one section to go through first. Yeah. Toys.
Bro.
I was like, no, man, surely this guy's not booked out that long.
I haven't laughed that hard since I was a little girl.
What?
Man, this guy won't shut up.
And just a reminder before we get started here, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to iGadap wherever it is you're listening to. Hit that notification bell so you are notified when a new episode drops. Also, make sure that you go out there and rate and review this episode. Tell me what you think of it. And the more people that do that, the more likely I am to be recommended to somebody else. Now, on to the show. All right, everybody. This one is really cool for me. It's a guy that I actually met, I think it was about a month ago, at ArtCon. You know, I did the live show there and everything, and I was able to meet this guy. He is a comic book writer. He's a novelist. He writes short stories. He's actually a New York Times best-selling writer, and he's worked with Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, all kinds of other stuff. As you know, he also was the writer for Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. And I am talking about Cullen Bunn. Man, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for a minute, and it's really great to have you here.
Well, thank you.
So, man, you've kind of done a little bit of everything, I guess, when it comes to this. I actually just got one of your books in the mail the other day. I'm just about to start reading it. I had some stuff come up, so I haven't got a chance to read it, but it's really cool.
Which one is it, so I can tell you if you should bother?
So it is the it's the one that has you're sitting at your computer.
Oh, A Passage in Black.
Yes, Passage in Black. That's it. Yes.
Yeah, that's a fun book. The origins of that book is I published a collection of my own prose short stories.
Uh-huh.
And there was a few spot illustrations in that book.
Right.
And the artist said, you know, we should do it at a comic book convention. He came up and said, you should do a comic book adaptation of these stories. So I just reached out to a bunch of different writers and artists and had them adapt stories of mine. So, yeah, it was a fun book to do. It was an interesting project.
That is really cool. So what actually drew you towards, because I know you do a lot of, you're known as the master of horror, you know, you. So what kind of drew you to doing the horror genre?
In a way, I was always interested in, I've always been interested in, you know, all the speculative genres, you know, horror, fantasy, science fiction. Uh-huh. That was always my bread and butter. It was the stuff I geeked out over when I was a kid, and it just always stuck with me. But, and at one time I would have told you, I wasn't necessarily a horror fan in the early days. But when I think back, that's not true. I mean, I was always fascinated by ghost stories. You know, I had my brothers and sisters were all 10 years older than me, and they loved to torment me by telling me stories about the kid who drowned in the lake out behind our house and how he would come looking for kids to go swimming with him at night. And, you know, it was always, you know, they were always telling me those stories. I vividly remember a number of nightmares I had when I was a little kid. That were real, you know, real horror shows. And those stuck with me.
Yeah.
I was always into haunted houses and monsters. So I was always to some degree really fascinated by horror. As I got older, I kind of maybe phased out of that and phased more into, you know, science fiction and fantasy. But then sometime in high school, I gravitated back into horror in a big way. And that's cool. It's stuck with me ever since.
Yeah. I have to say that horror is probably one of my favorites. I actually just did another podcast with a friend of mine. And we were actually supposed to talk about wrestling, because I, you know, I have wrestlers on my show and stuff like that a lot. So it was more of a, we were supposed to, in a way, try to convince him on why he should start watching. And by the end of it, we were talking about horror movies. You know, so
I'm gonna have to listen to that, because I want to see the progression in my mind. I see how it happened. Right, like. I've already developed this entire screenplay of audio play of how you got from wrestling to horror fandom, but I'm gonna have to see how if my imagination rings true to that.
Well, the way we put it, I will say this is it ended up being we were chasing rabbits through most of that episode. A lot of even my show here, you will. I don't have like a set, like this is the topic for the night or anything. Sure. You know, it's pretty much, it can go anywhere. That's the reason why I like to call it a podcast about nothing. You know, I've even had a few people like tell me that this was a, like the Seinfeld of podcasting, you know, because it's just so random. So then you put me on this guy's podcast and I'm already random enough as it is. So it just kind of mixed well, but it turned out really good.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, sometimes those are the best conversations, right? You never know where they're going to go.
Exactly. Yeah. But like I said, I've always been, you know, a big fan of horror. And then I met you at ArtCon, and I saw all of your books that you had there with you and everything. And I was like, I think this is a guy I would really like to talk to. And, you know, I had seen some of your other work and everything. You know, I'm a big Marvel fan, a big DC fan, things like that. So I was aware of your work, but then I saw, I didn't know about a lot of your horror work that you had done. So that was really neat to see.
Yeah, I've done a lot of it. It's interesting because it all depends on how the reader comes into the work, really. Because like with Marvel and DC, it's always been a struggle to do any horror work with them. Like they've never really been interested in it.
Right.
with me. So if you read a lot of the, you know, their stuff, you don't see that side of me.
Yeah.
But in my creator-owned side, I do a lot of it.
Yes. Your style definitely comes out in a lot of the stories and stuff that I've been reading lately. Like I went and rebought Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, and the ending is what really cracks me up on that. How you brought yourself into that. And then he threatens, you know, the reader at the end. And it's just the way you were able to work that in there. I think that was just perfect.
That book is a horror book in the grand scheme of things. I mean, that's how I pitched it to them.
Yeah.
Is that it was Deadpool. But if Deadpool were, you know, Jason Voorhees or Freddy Krueger.
Right.
That's how I pitched that series. It's also the book it is the most divisive, I think, of my Marvel work. People either loathe it with a with a fiery passion, or they love it. And it's funny, you know, I still, to this day, that book came out over 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
I still get messages from people who say things like, I'm glad this book killed your career or something like that. Oh, and I'm like, oh, you mean Marvel's best-selling Deadpool book ever? Yeah, that killed my career. You know, you need to rethink that one, pal.
Right.
You know, I get a lot of hate mail over that book, though. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I get why people might not like it. Okay. I also couldn't possibly care less. But it's interesting how divisive that book has been.
Right.
Over the years, and how it has strangely continued to seem relevant to people. I mean, it's like I said, 10 years and that book's still going strong. It's always in Marvel's top sales, you know, records.
So I do have a question on that, and you've probably answered this many times before. Did they give you like, okay, whenever you wrote this story, when it came to killing certain ones, did they tell you they're okay, you have to have it a certain way, or did they just give you free rein to say, this is like, I think it's very, I like the way you did Wolverine.
Oh,
and how, it was because you obviously can't fully kill Wolverine. And so your way of keeping it him from being able to regenerate and stuff like that. I liked that. There was a lot of thought behind it.
Yeah. They did not give me, I'm thinking through this right now. Yeah. There were no like editorial mandates on that book. There was no pushback on any of the death scenes or anything like that. There were no characters I couldn't use.
Yeah.
It was pretty much free range in that book.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of it was just, I did research. Some of the deaths were a little goofy, and then some I was like, I really need to think this one through. How do I make this seem realistic? Wolverine was one, you know, I had to research that sword that keeps him from regenerating. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I killed him. So it was a lot of, you know, there was not a lot of pushback on Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. I remember the reason I was hesitant is after that book came out, they wanted me to do a follow-up series.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing I pitched was Deadpool Kills the Cosmic Universe, and which doesn't make sense because he'd already killed them in Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Right.
But that was the first thing I pitched, and that one they did push back because Guardians of the Galaxy was getting ready to come out, I think, and they didn't want me to kill those characters.
Gotcha.
You've
done some work on them, on Guardians of the Galaxy, haven't you?
I wrote Drax. I wrote Drax, the Drax series for a little bit with CM Punk.
Yep.
And speaking of wrestling,
I mean
they've appeared in some other things I've done. I've never done like a pure Guardians of the Galaxy series, I don't think. Sometimes I forget.
What was it like working with Punk?
Oh, it was great. He was a great collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun working on that series. We did a lot of fun stuff that I didn't think they'd let us get away with. I would have loved for the series to continue a little while longer, but that wasn't in the cards.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
He's one, it's really cool because whenever he comes out to the ring, the first time you see him, you know that he's a wrestling fan because he says it's clobbering time, you know, when he comes out. So I've always wanted to, I would love to talk even with him, you know, when it comes to comic books and stuff like that, because.
Oh yeah. He's a real fan.
He's
loved comics for a long while.
Right.
He was a great, great collaborator. I have nothing but good things to say about him. In that, the only thing I'd say, you know, he bought another wrestler a copy of Amazing Fantasy 15, and I saw he had bought one, and I texted him and said, "Oh, you didn't have to get me a present." And he's like, he said, "Well, sadly, it is a present, just not for you." he gave it to another wrestler.
That's cool. Yeah, I keep up with a lot of that and everything. So it was kind of cool to see him come back and everything, but. When it comes to your process, what does that look like whenever you, it comes to your writing process? Do you like, are you one of those people that can just sit down and write it in a day, or is it something that takes you, you know, a few weeks to do?
So, I can write a comic script for a full issue comic in a day. No problem.
Oh, okay.
If there's a big, if to that though, most of the work I do on a comic script though, is in outlining phases.
Okay.
And before I ever start scripting, the reason I can do a comic so fast is I've spent so much time outlining the book. Yeah. So in comics, you have to outline. I mean, yes. I'm a big believer in outlining in everything these days, mm-hmm. but comics more than anything, as a writer,
right,
you have to outline it because you're constrained. Comics is about economy.
Yes.
You have only a certain number of pages, only a certain number of panels, you know, things like that. So before I ever start scripting, I've outlined that book 4 times. I do a very high level outline that is really just things like they fight, they run,
yeah.
they talk. Uh-huh. And then I go through a second outline, which I detail that a little bit more, and I plan out how many pages everything's going to take. And then I go through a third outline where I have to cut my pages down because I've overplanned. And then I go through a fourth outline that is very detailed. It's like a bulleted list of everything that's going to appear on the page.
Uh-huh.
And an artist could easily draw an issue based on that fourth outline. But then I go through the actual scripting process and I script it and I flesh it out even more.
Okay.
So the reason I can write the script so quickly is because I spend so much time outlining it.
Right. I mean, it's a thorough process, but I mean, it works, you know. I mean, you've been able to be very successful at, you know, writing this stuff. So, I mean, it obviously works for you.
Well, it works for me. There's the thing. I know other writers who don't outline at all. They just sit down and they you know, bam, there's a script. I know, and they can do it very quickly. And yeah. I know a lot more quickly than I can. And I know others that take, you know, a week to write a script.
Right.
It's all based on what, you know, what works for the individual. But this outlining process for me is the only thing that yeah. works. I mean, yeah. if I don't do this outline and I just sit down and start writing a script, I am going to be in trouble by the time that script is halfway through.
Yeah.
I'm going to realize I don't have enough room in the issue.
Would you say that's like you're writing too much if you don't do the outline then?
Oh yeah. Always. You know, one of those phases I mentioned is I plan. I sit down and I write every scene out.
Right, yeah.
And it's a sentence or two about each scene in the book. And then I write down how many pages I think each of those scenes are going to take. And then I add those pages up.
Oh, okay.
Almost always. Let's say it's a 20-page comic I'm writing.
Yeah.
Almost always I've planned 40 pages. So I have to go back in and cut 20 pages worth of content out,
yeah.
or figure out how to rearrange it.
Right.
Which is where it goes into the next stage, which is really all about fitting the puzzle pieces together, you know,
yeah.
collapsing scenes, combining scenes, deleting scenes and making them, you know, that stage is pretty, pretty important. It's where the magic happens.
Right. Yeah. Well, so I work with a local comic book company out of Little Rock area, and they just had their newest comic come out called The Eighth Day. And originally it was supposed to just be, you know, like your 20, 22 pages or something like that. And the first one ended up being a double issue and it was like 44 right. pages long. But I mean, it worked, you know, I mean, it was really cool that they were able to do that and everything. But yeah, I can see that, you know, if you don't have that guideline, then, you know, you're going to end up writing too much.
Right. Yeah. It's easy to get into trouble if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a comic, it's not like a novel or a short story where you just keep going. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, your publishers are going to say, nope, you have 20 pages.
Well, you know, and then you're just like, what do you do when they, do you just condense down? How many times does that happen?
Well, I mean, usually I know how many pages I have before I start outlining,
right.
So it's okay. Not too long ago, I was working on a licensed comic, though, and I remember taking the calls with the editors and writing my notes, and you know, and I pitched them my story idea, and they approved it, and so I was off to the races, and I wrote it, and I turned it in, and the editor emailed me back and said, "This comic's great, but you wrote a 30-page comic, and you only have 18 pages."
Oh no.
And I said, no, we discussed it. We said 30 pages. And I went back to my notes, and sure enough, on my notes, 18 pages. I have no idea how I thought it was going to be, why I had 30 in my mind. But I had to go back, and I had to condense and combine scenes and cut what, you know, cut the stuff that, you know, it didn't need. And it was a fine, the comic was fine in the end, but it was definitely a challenge to make that story work in just over, you know, almost half of what I had originally planned.
Yeah.
So now before I start writing anymore, before I start outlining, I make sure I'm doubly sure how many pages I have.
I bet that, you know, kind of breaks your writer heart whenever you have to do that too.
Well, I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's also, you know, it's the kill your darlings philosophy. You know, sometimes you just have to get rid of the stuff you're precious about.
Yeah, no, I get that. We've talked about how you like horror. Do you have a favorite horror franchise that maybe you grew up with or that you like now even?
So, I mean, there's a lot of franchise. When you say the word franchise, yes. I'm a big fan of the Phantasm movies.
Oh, okay.
So from a franchise perspective, Phantasm probably takes top marks for me. I love the weirdness of those movies.
Yeah.
In fact, I love them so much. Just talking about them now with you, I'm going to watch one of them tonight. I know. I like the surreal, dreamlike quality of those films. I love Phantasm.
Yeah.
Every movie, even the ones that aren't my favorite in that series, I still like. So, you know, it's but yeah, I, you know, and then, you know, if we're not talking franchises, you know, Aliens or Alien.
Alien
and The Thing are my two favorite horror movies.
Okay.
I think they're sort of what I would consider the echelon of horror films. But I like all of it. I mean, I'm trying to think of one that I just, no thanks. And I'm not sure there is one that I wouldn't at least give a try.
Yeah.
Or at least I've watched more than once or read more than once. You know, in comics, I loved Hellblazer and I love Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I loved the old Charlton horror anthologies.
Mm-hmm.
In novels and prose, it's a list of writers that I really like.
I got you. You know, growing up, I listened to a lot of like radio dramas and things like that, and I love listening to the old like radio horror shows.
Oh yeah, sure.
Some of the coolest. I mean, I'll be sitting there at work, and you know, it's Spotify now has a lot of that stuff that I can find. And I will definitely sit there and just listen to hours worth of just the old timey radio shows.
Yeah. I mean, there's always been interesting content out there. And and a lot of the old stuff still, you know, still holds up a lot of it.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I like a lot of the ones, and I like the way that they talk with it too, because I remember there's a word that sticks out with me when they talk about ghosts. They didn't call them ghosts back then. They were apparitions, you know.
Apparitions.
So, yeah. And I just love that. It feels like a different, I mean, it is a different time, you know, and it just felt a lot more like classy. I like a lot of the older.
You like that classy horror.
I do. Yeah. But I'm also the other way too. I love stuff like, body horror. I don't know if you get into much of that and everything, but there's some ones out there that are kind of crazy that I like.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great, you know, When I hear body horror, my mind goes to David Cronenberg movies. I feel like there's a lot of body horror in that.
Yeah.
If you think of things like his remake of The Fly and stuff. Right.
Which I love that remake. And I remember that, like, it's like, I'm 35. So I was kind of a kid whenever, you know, I watched that for the first time. And that one stuck with me, especially when you get towards the end of that movie, you know, and he's almost fully a fly and everything. The way that they did that movie was it sticks with you.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a great movie. It's definitely a movie where the remake was far superior to the original.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrific.
So at the beginning, I told you that, you know, I met you at ArtCon, and I know that you've been there. You've done a couple of these now, haven't you?
Yeah, I think this was my second ArtCon.
Okay. This was the first time that we had been at that one. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I haven't got to do a lot of the different cons and stuff. About how many a year do you say that you end up doing?
Oh, not as many as, I mean, back in the early days, I would say, you know, I did a lot.
Yeah.
These days, you know, in the past few years, I would say, you know, I do five or six. I don't do many at all.
Okay.
It's just it's tough to do a lot of conventions right now with my writing schedule.
Yeah.
And I love conventions, but yeah, I would say last year I probably only did five, maybe, you know, maybe even less than that, four.
Yeah.
Four conventions. And this year, this, you know, ArtCon was the first of this year. And then I just did Planet Comic Con, which is a big convention in Kansas City.
Yep.
I'm going to a convention this week, but I'm just going as a fan, which is something I started, you know, for 20 years, I haven't been to a convention as a fan.
Yeah.
I've only gone for work reasons.
Yes.
And, last year I went to a horror convention in Texas and I just went as a fan, and it was the first one in decades, you know, that I'd been to. And I just had such a great time doing it. It reminded me what I liked about, it reminded me of my own fandom, which can be easy to forget if you're not careful, you know? And so now I promised myself I'm going to do one a year as a fan. So this year, this week I'm going to, another horror convention that I'm just going, not to work, just as a fan.
That's cool. Yeah. You've got to take time for yourself to be able to do that. And so I really like that idea that you're just getting out there and enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's important to remember why, you know, why I like this stuff. I'm not, you know, I didn't set out in this business because, I think writing is a dodge of some kind, you know, or writing horror or comics or whatever is somehow easy. That was never, you know, that's not why I set out down this path. I did it because I loved it.
Right.
And, you know, and I was a fan first.
Yeah.
But a lot of people forget that along the way. They forget it. They forget their fandom. They forget, you know, what they love about it. And I don't want to be that kind of soulless husk, you know, going forward. So I need to remind it. And I'm, you know, I'm super excited to go and geek out and stand in some lines and everything else.
They're going to be like, Colin, what are you doing in lines? Just come up front.
No. nobody does. Very rarely does that happen.
You don't get recognized at these when you're just at them?
Oh, I do. I do. But it's, I don't know that I get recognized by the people who would get me in the front of a line.
Gotcha.
yeah, occasionally, you know, the recognition comes occasionally.
Right.
But usually I'm still, you know, especially at a horror convention, if it were a comic convention, it might be different, but at a horror convention, which, you know, really comics are just a very small fraction of this show, I would imagine.
Right.
If at all.
Yeah.
It might maybe not as easily recognized.
So I've never actually been to a horror con before. It's just around horror movies and horror shows, I'm guessing.
Just the horror genre in general. That's cool. And, you know, you think comic book fans are voracious.
Yeah.
Horror fans are insanely voracious. they're also, horror fans are also, it is the most welcoming, friendly community you can imagine. The horror fans, you know, the best way I can put it is it's a very welcoming community.
Yes.
They love that people love horror. They love that people like things that they like.
Right.
And, you know, sure, maybe they argue if Scream is a better franchise than Halloween or whatever.
Right.
But it's always good fun.
Yeah.
And it's just you know, I was going to horror writers conventions long before I was really going to big comic conventions. And the horror writer conventions were always very, they embraced me as one of them.
Right.
You know, from the get go. Yeah. I can't imagine a world where you hear me talking really poorly about the horror fandom.
Right.
I try not to talk bad about fandom in general, but horror fandom in particular is pretty awesome.
I can attest to that. I actually, for a while, I don't know what happened to it, but I think the group got hacked or something like that. I used to be like an admin for this group, and it was like 30,000 people, and that's all we talked about was horror. And they were some of the best people ever. And then one day it just disappeared. And I'm not really sure what happened to that group. But I always think about it. And I made some real friends in there. And, you know.
Well, yeah, there are friends that I have that I'm, you know, met on horror chat boards and things like that, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
Well, and I think that horror fans kind of get a bad rap, almost like metal fans. You know, people think, oh, you're into that. Well, you must be scary. There must be something wrong with you, you know, and that's not the case. You know, I mean, we have what we like, and, you know, you're right. Most of the time, horror fans are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Well, yeah, I don't know who I was talking about. Oh, I was talking with Sandy Carpenter, who is the, you know, the publisher of Storm King Comics, the wife of John Carpenter.
Okay.
She was at this big convention I was at, and we were talking about that.
Uh-huh.
And we really think, you know, what we decided is, you know, horror fans get to exercise their demons in a way that maybe other people don't. We get to, you know, we have the catharsis of horror to get us through and help us work through some of our issues.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to put it. And like I said, that goes hand in hand with, you know, metal fans. For me, you know, I'm a big metalhead. I don't know what kind of music you listen to, but they scream when I can't. You know, and so I like
all kinds of music. So
do what?
I like all kinds of music.
So. Okay, all right, yeah. And so, you know, yeah,
I've gone through my phases.
Yeah,
you know, as a kid, you know, teenager, I was the ultimate metal head. You know,
right on.
And then I went through a rap phase and a reggae phase, and
I've been through
every phase.
Okay. I like that. You know, I'm one of those. I can find something to listen to in any genre. Today, there's a guy that I was working with, and he was like, oh, do you like bluegrass? And I was like, yeah. And so I ended up showing him like my favorite bluegrass band. And then we just jammed out to that for a while, you know? Nice. So I like it whenever you can, you know, enjoy music from all different genres.
Sure.
So do you have any hobbies?
What are you talking about? Hobbies?
Yeah.
I just told you I go to one convention a year. Isn't that enough hobby?
No, man.
you know, no, I really don't. I mean, you know, occasionally I'll get together and play board games with some friends. You know, occasionally I will play, you know, Dungeons and Dragons with some friends.
All right.
And, you know, and I collect a few things. But even that, you know, I don't necessarily consider my collections a hobby. It's just something I, you know, every now and again I grab something. I'll see something, I'll grab it.
Right.
But no, I don't, I can't say that I have like a lot of hobbies and nothing that sticks with me for, you know, a lot of time.
Gotcha.
I like to tell stories. I like to write stories. And so, and I don't, you know, I know these days some, you know, some folks can get bent out of shape if they think, oh, you're advocating that everyone just work themselves, you know, work constantly and work themselves into the grave.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Right.
What I like doesn't, I don't, I'm not saying anyone does, you know, works on the schedule I work.
Yeah.
Except me. I want to work myself into the grave. So let me do that. And if people are upset with me for working myself into the grave, well, they need to get over it because they're, you know, that's what I want to do.
Right.
Let me die the way I want to.
Well, I mean, you'll die happy because, I mean, you can tell you're doing what you love. And in your case, I guess you could say, does it really feel like work when you're doing what you love?
Yes.
It does?
What I do, I'm very thankful for. I'm very thankful that I live in a world where I can tell stories for a living.
Yes.
And that's a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a job. Right. And there are still days where it feels like work. And there are months where it feels like work. And, there are years where it just feels like oppressive work.
Yeah.
I'm still, even then, there are much worse jobs to have.
That's true. That is very true. Yeah. I can understand that. There's days I don't want to edit my show, you know? I bet there's probably portions of what you do that you probably like the least.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like I said, anyone who thinks that all I do is write all day long is out of their mind because, you know, more than half of what I do is busy work. It's administrative work for writing.
Right. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that can be a little frustrating sometimes because I'm like, there are days where I'm just like, I worked all week long as hard as I could.
Yeah.
And I didn't write a word. It can be, I mean, heck, this week has been that way. The last 7 days I've been working.
Yeah.
But none of that work is actually telling stories. So.
Right. Right. Well, I know that one thing that you're doing right now, you have a Kickstarter going, don't you, for a new story?
I do. It's only for a couple of days. So I don't even know, you know, I don't know when this airs.
Okay.
It'll be over by then, but that's okay. I have a Kickstarter going on right now for a book called The Far Away, mm-hmm. Which I'm doing with Outland Entertainment out of Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
I have like a horror imprint at Outland, and we just started doing comics in the imprint. The Far Away is going to be our first comic so that's, you know, that's there now. Within 30 or 40 days, I think the publisher was telling me, we're going to launch our second Kickstarter for another comic.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing a lot of comics, and we're going to be moving them through pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So the far away will be finished.
Okay.
But the good news is your listeners, if they want to back, you know, if they want to get The Far Away, they want to make sure they didn't miss out on this first comic. The next Kickstarter we do, and we're in the debate stages of what that one's going to be. I've got a few comics that are ready to be launched.
Okay.
You'll be able to get The Far Away. We're always going to set these campaigns up that you can, there's always going to be a catch up ability.
Right.
So you can always get the stuff you missed.
Okay.
Until it's out of print, obviously, but,
right.
But yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of horror comics, and Outland kickstarts everything initially as sort of like their pre-order system.
Okay.
So we're going to be running those as Kickstarters throughout the year. And yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of them. I think we announced 5 or 6 books to start with.
Oh, wow.
All horror comics that are coming out from Outland Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are one shots. Some of them are going to be series.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've got a lot of cool stuff coming on that front.
So how often do you do like the Kickstarter stuff? Cause like the one that I work for, they've done 5 different comics and they've done Kickstarters for each of those. And so how many have you actually been involved in when it comes to that?
So I've done, you know, I think if I'm counting projects that I didn't necessarily run, but I was involved with the Kickstarter in some way.
Yeah.
I've probably done 10 or 11 myself.
Okay.
And I've learned something and I've stumbled on almost every one of them and learned something new on almost every one of them.
Okay.
But now with Outland, you know, they've done, you know, I don't know, 50, 60 projects.
Right.
So they've kind of got a system in place. And even then, you know, they're still learning new things and doing new things. So,
right. Well, that first story that you guys are coming out with, it sounds really cool. You know, it's an adventure, but it's a horror, you know, so.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of, if you remember, well, you might be too young, maybe. When I was a kid, there was a cartoon based on the Dungeons and Dragons game.
Okay. Yeah.
And in that cartoon, 5 kids were transported into the magical world of Dungeons and Dragons, uh-huh. where they meet a friendly little gnome who gives them magical items and they go on fun adventures.
Yep.
And this is the book that is currently under Kickstarter is called The Far Away.
Uh-huh.
It follows that basic premise. 5 kids are transported into a magical fantasy world.
Uh-huh.
Where they meet a little gnome who gives them magic items. And then things go catastrophically wrong. And they realize that they are in a terrible, terrible place. And horrible, horrible things are happening.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes sort of a fantasy horror novel or a fantasy horror comic at that point.
Yeah. I love that idea. I mean, it's something just hearing that I get to use my imagination on what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. And it's one I can't even tell. I can't tell.
Right.
I can't tell readers because come page 6.
Yeah.
Things go wrong, you know, and in a big way.
Yeah.
And it's a fun book for me because this was a book that came about in a really weird way because I was actually sitting at a coffee shop one morning working. And this artist, Vitaly Kalchenko, emailed me out of the blue.
Okay.
I see email come. He's an artist from Ukraine. He mm-hmm. said, hey, I'd love to work with you on a comic. Here's some samples of my art. What do you think? Would you like to work together? And I looked at his art and immediately I started typing up a script for The Far Away.
Oh, that's cool.
And I typed it sitting there, the initial, I don't know, maybe 10 pages. Uh-huh. Sitting there at the coffee shop, and that was one I didn't outline. I just got into it, and I just started, you know, those first 10 pages, I just wrote.
Wow.
And I wrote back to him and said, yeah, do you like this script? And he started drawing it immediately. So it just came together in this sort of, you know, I got that email from him at the right time.
Right.
You know, I put aside the stuff I was working on to write a new script and send it to him.
Right.
And he started drawing. He's almost done with the second issue now.
Yeah.
So we're just, you know, we're moving right along on it.
I love that about creative people, you know, when inspiration hits, you have to drop what you're doing so you can make sure that you don't lose it.
Yeah. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you just have to, you know, I was driving to Oklahoma last week and driving along, the idea for a story just struck me like a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
And, and everybody in the car was asleep except me. I'm sitting there driving. I'm like, how do I write this story down, this idea, so that I don't forget it?
Yeah.
And I probably drove unsafely to get the idea down in my phone for a bit. That's all right. I got it there.
You can do voice memos, can't you?
Well, I didn't want to wake up the people in the car.
That's
and
true.
Also,
okay.
You know, and also the idea that I came up with was not safe for work, so I didn't want to be like, running through these things. I didn't want my wife to wake up and hear me saying these vile things and think I've finally, you know, gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
So I quietly, shamefully figured out how to put it into my phone without wrecking the car. If I had been by myself, it would have been a problem. I said all sorts of vile things to myself all the time. Yeah. But I didn't want my wife and kid to hear me ranting over that stuff.
Right. So your government agents that listen to you are like, good God, what's up with that dude?
Oh, look, if I'm not on a list by now, you know, if anyone's monitoring, you know, what I say into my, you know, my notes file, or what I search for in doing general research for comics.
Right.
If anyone's watching that, I'm in big trouble.
Oh. Yeah, he's at it again.
Yeah. I just see I envision some like 1970 style giant computer that just, and it's just like running ticker tape of the stuff I'm looking for, and somebody's sitting there reading it, monitoring it.
Oh, that's great. I can picture that in my head. So there's a couple things that I found when I was doing some research for this, and IMDb had a few things come up on there. The Empty Man, the movie that came out in 2020, was one of the things that came up.
That's
a very interesting movie. I like that. And so what was the inspiration behind that story?
Well, The Empty Man came together for me. I remember when I came up with this idea for that book.
Uh-huh.
I was actually on the road to a comic convention, and I was looking out across this field.
Yeah.
And there was like barbed wire fencing around this field.
Uh-huh.
And there was plastic tarp that had blown off a truck or something that was tangled up in the barbed wire, and it was blowing in the wind, but it had this weird shape to it.
Right.
And I wrote down, again, I wasn't driving this time. I wrote down in my notebook the line, and it just, for some reason, this line, "The Empty Man Made Me Do It," popped it into my head. Oh. And I took that idea, that line, and I just developed it out into this story. But it all started just by seeing some old plastic tarp, hanging on a barbed wire.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, you know, maybe when I thought of that line, I was thinking something else. But it eventually became this story. Huh. And the movie is very different from the comics.
Uh-huh.
They're very different properties.
Okay.
I mean, the comics go into some vastly, vastly different places than the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm guessing you're able to express yourself more through a comic. They have like a certain amount of time when it comes to a movie. And I know I've heard this many times, you know, movies are always different. You hear people say, you know, oh, well, the book was better and things, but you're able to put more detail when you're writing this stuff than what they can actually put into some of these films.
You know, the difference, the thing that comics can do that movies can't is you can get into the heads of the characters in a better way. You can get that narration. So it's a little bit of a cross between film. Comics are like, you know, somewhere a middle ground between film and prose.
Yeah.
But movies can cover a lot of ground too.
Yeah, they can. I mean,
they can cover a lot of ground that can get some in-depth stuff and do some things that the comics,
uh-huh.
you know, can't do. The Empty Man, I think, is a great movie, and I'm glad that it's got sort of a, it's kind of, since its release, it's kind of gotten this weird cult following.
Okay.
Because it came out in theaters, I remember, like the first week of lockdown for COVID.
Oh, okay.
So it came out in theaters at the absolute worst time for a movie to come out in theater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but since, and it didn't have, I don't think it had a great marketing campaign behind the movie. I don't think the marketing campaign, the commercial, the trailers really did the movie any favors.
Yeah.
But it's got this, you know, interesting cult following since that time, because it is a really weird movie and it's got some really creepy stuff in it. But yeah, it's very different from the comic. I think, you know, it's interesting because I think people can read the comic and get a very different experience than people watch the movie will have also have a very different experience. So it was an interesting adaptation.
Now I'm going to have to get the comics so I can, you know, see
the difference. There are three trade paperbacks.
Okay.
Out for The Empty Man right now.
Okay. There was another thing that came up in there, and I didn't get to research it too much, but it was called The Unsound. Yes. Now, the first thing that comes to mind for me, there's a podcast that I listen to called The Black Tapes. Okay. And they bring up a thing on there called The Unsound, I believe. And what it is it's a sound that I guess can kill you. What is The Unsound with what you have there?
The Unsound is a book about, if I really boil it down to bare essentials, it's about a young nurse who gets a job at a haunted asylum.
Okay.
And it came from, you know, this notion that in the 80s, due to budget cuts, there were a number of asylums that shut down.
Okay.
Mental hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And their patients were just let loose.
Oh,
they just let loose, and it was kind of that notion kind of startled me a little bit.
Yeah,
and then I, you know, and you know, I've had some, you know, I visited some friends and family members who were in mental institutions for one reason or another, and that was always a very haunting, it was always a very strange and surreal experience for me.
Yes.
And I just wanted to explore for myself sort of the weirdness and how unsettled I was by all of that.
Yeah.
So The Unsound is about a girl who goes to who starts working at this asylum. And while she's there, a riot breaks out. She gets trapped in the asylum. And then it just starts spilling out into this sort of surreal world. And The Unsound is sort of almost a pantheon of beings that she ends up encountering or having a brush with while she's in this asylum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. That's an interesting way of looking at that, because the first thing that does come to mind if you go is, you know, it can be very unsettling for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. It was upsetting. And,
yes.
And I wanted to try to explore that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and that's, it's on IMDb because there's a film in develop, you know, early development for Netflix.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I mean, hopefully we will see that happen here soon then.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
There you go. So we're kind of coming up close to a close here and everything. I've just got a few more questions for you. Yeah. So you have a podcast with your wife. I do want to talk about that because I've become an instant fan of that show.
Well, thank you.
What made you guys decide to start doing your podcast?
You know, I think, my wife Cindy was just a podcast fan.
Yeah.
And she was listening to a bunch of podcasts, and then she got kind of involved, like doing occasional appearances on podcasts and things like that.
Yeah.
And she just thought, wouldn't it be fun if we just did one ourselves where we just talk about the nonsense we talk about on a daily basis. So we started recording one, and we, you know, we had ups and downs. We recorded some and we stopped recording, and then we, you know, we fell off of it for things going on in our life. But yeah, we just recently really dove back in trying to to do it and stick with it this time.
Well, yeah, y'all went from like hadn't had one since like 22 or something, I think.
Yeah, we had some stuff going on, just personal stuff, that we got to the point where we just didn't feel, you know, one of the things we want to do with the podcast, we don't really want to bring, you know, we want to stay pretty upbeat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I get
and,
that.
And there was a while there where neither one of us were feeling very upbeat about anything. So yeah, we just didn't want to, you know, to do that. So, you know, we got our, we figured out our business, and we figured, okay, now we feel like we're in a better place, and we can not, you know, bring the party down.
Right.
And so we started it up again.
Well, speaking of upbeat, the song, dude, that song is awesome.
I know, right? I was very excited about that song when we got it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get a lot of people to say, oh, where'd you get that song? And I wish I could tell people. I'm not, but the guy that we hired to do that song vanished.
Really?
Like, this was his masterpiece. And he just disappeared. And we can't find him, because there have been other things like, oh, we should do a different song. And I try to find him, and I can't get him anymore. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the music sets the tone for the show. I believe that, you know, and it definitely has that upbeat feel and makes you excited to listen.
Oh, well, yeah. When we got that, we probably listened to it, you know, on loop.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit. Yeah, you can, and you can listen to that podcast. I just actually, there's nothing fancy to it right now, because I'm not a designer, and I just wanted to stake a claim. But we set up a webpage where you can get to all the episodes now, too.
Oh, cool.
It's thebungalowpodcast.com.
Sweet.
And I say you can get to all the episodes. We're working with some folks that we recorded our previous seasons, and we're going to load all those in there as well. But, okay. It's got all of the current 2024 episodes are up there right now anyway.
Yeah, which that's the only ones I've got to hear. And whenever I was listening to the first couple, I was like, wait a minute, there's more of these?
And oh, yeah, there's a bunch more. And we're going to load those into the website and everything. Okay. As soon as we get, again, I'm not a tech savvy kind of guy. And I'm definitely not a podcast savvy guy.
Yeah.
So we're working with some people who had the files that are going to get all the files to us so that we can load all the previous episodes up too.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And I, like you said, it's just, y'all talk about everything on there too. It's just, I think one time you said that it was, you would stop having conversations because you were like, this would be great to talk about on the show.
Well, that's the danger. Yeah. There have been times when we start talking about something and we just say, hold on, let's put a pin in this and let's talk about it. At the next, on the next bungalow.
So what would you say is probably your proudest moment in your career?
Oh my, I don't know. I don't know. Am I proud of, you know, pride is a dangerous thing.
It is. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's tough. I have a lot of things that I'm very, you know, very excited about or that I'm very proud happened. The Sixth Gun is a book I did, a creator owned indie book that ran 50 issues plus a number of miniseries. And that's kind of unheard of in the creator owned space.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal for me. Harrow County, I did with Dark Horse, that ran 30 something issues. I'm very proud of that book too.
Yes.
I did, you know, I had the chance to write Uncanny X-Men, which was a big deal for me because I loved Uncanny X-Men as a kid.
Right.
So writing Uncanny X-Men was important, and I'm proud of it. I did, you know, I did Marvel's I can't say it's their first, but I did a book called Fearless Defenders, which was an all-female superhero team that Marvel wasn't doing all-female superhero teams at that time. And that book, while not a perfect book by any stretch of the imagination, that book meant something to a lot of people. And I still get people to this day who come up and thank me for that book and thank me for, you know, and just gush about how much they loved Fearless Defenders, which, you know, is kind of it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm proud of a lot of those kind of, you know, those stories. I'm proud of any of the stories I work on that mean something
yes.
to somebody, or even right. if they just, you know, they just really freaking enjoyed it. That's, you know, if they, that's a, you know, those are proud moments for me.
Right. So do you have any goals set for this next year when it comes to your writing?
Oh yeah. this year I'm doing, I call it the 2024 five.
Okay.
Because I have five big projects that I feel like, not to be melodramatic, but I feel like these five projects will change the course of my life if I pull them off.
All right.
And that's a big, you know, it's a big if pulling these projects off. But the Outland Entertainment comics I mentioned to you earlier, as we build that, I think it could be a big shift in how I approach comics, depending on how successful it is in the next three or four. I mean, it's one of those things you have to build an audience for it.
Right.
But I think it, you know, in success, it could do some big things. I've got a big marketing plan that I'm slowly executing. That's part of this 2024-5, because if I do it right, it'll change things for me. I'm writing a novel right now that comes out next year.
Oh, cool.
And the novel's a big deal for me. It's my first full-length adult horror novel. Done lots of short stories, I've done a few kids' novels, but this is my first, you know, full-length horror novel. And then in the comic book space, I've got a book coming out in July called Beyond Mortal.
Okay.
It's a graphic novel that's coming out from Dark Horse. And it's a superhero story, but it's a very horror-centric superhero story. You know, like the elevator pitch is, what if the Justice League or the Avengers encountered the Cthulhu mythos?
Okay.
And that's the basic premise of the first Beyond Mortal series.
Yeah.
Or graphic novel.
Right.
But that graphic novel opens the door to an entire superhero universe of my own creation. So the second book, the second series in that universe is called Jump Scare, which launches in January. Okay. And it introduces a brand new superhero in this sort of superhero slash horror universe. And we've got two or three other books that we're going to want to pitch that we're pitching and actively, you know, working on to get out there in the Beyond Mortal universe. We're going to be launching some free online comics in the Beyond Mortal universe in the next few months. You can pre-order the graphic novel right now.
Okay.
And the more successful that book is, the more opportunity I get to have to, you know, create a superhero universe.
Right.
And it's one of the things I'm just really super excited about. Jump Scare is the most fun I've had writing a comic in forever. So it's a big deal to me. And then, and like I said, we got several other series in the works in the Beyond Mortal universe.
Right.
That's a big goal for me, is making sure that happens and is successful.
Okay.
And then I have one other one that I can't tell you about, only because I'm sworn to secrecy and NDAs and all that stuff.
All right.
Another big goal for this year that when we announce it, you'll know that's what I was talking about. It is not comic book related, but it's a big deal.
Okay. Well, I definitely look forward to hearing what that is. And Jump Scare, I'm definitely going to have to look into that. It sounds like something I would definitely be interested in reading.
Yeah, it's a fun series. Like I said, and it all kind of kickstarts in July from Dark Horse with the Beyond Mortal graphic novel.
Nice. So when you first started out, what was the best piece of advice that you got?
You know, someone told me early on that I needed to. There are a few pieces of advice.
Okay.
You know, someone told me not to worry so much about what people say online. And that took me a while to really learn, you know, put it into practice. Because my initial reaction when someone would say something, you know, hateful or hurtful was to say something back.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell them, hey, I would say something. But then I just learned that there's so much stupidity out there in the world of social media and what people will say to other people. And it seems like stupidity.
Yeah.
And then I realized it's not stupidity. It's just sort of a lack of self-awareness, a general lack of awareness. And I don't need to fan those flames.
Right.
So that was a big one, is not to worry about that. Worry about the work.
Yeah.
And, I don't need everybody to like what I do. I don't, if everybody likes what I do if everyone has the same reaction to everything I do,
yeah,
then I'm just doing the same thing. And right. I don't want to do the same thing over and over again.
I get that.
And then someone once told me breaking into comics is very difficult. And the only thing more difficult than breaking into comics is staying in comics once you've broken in.
Yeah.
And that's very true. And I've kept that in mind through the ups and downs of my career.
Well, I mean, you've been able to stay, you know, in this for quite a while. I mean, you've done so much, and I'm just excited that I've been able to sit here and talk to you tonight. And thank you for being on the show. I really do appreciate this.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to have been here. I'm glad you had me on. It was a good time.
Yeah. If people want to follow you online, how can they do that?
So I'm on all the socials as @CullenBunn. You can go to my website, which is CullenBunn.com. And from there, you can subscribe to my newsletter, which I put out weekly. It's full of all sorts of information. From there, you can get to, my podcast, which is TheBungalowPodcast.com. I'm pretty easy to find, though. Yeah, mainly my newsletter, my website, and the bungalow are good places to follow me. I have a Discord channel that you can get to from my website.
Yeah.
That, you know, if people want to interact with me, there's plenty of opportunity to interact on that.
Yep.
So lots of places to find me and tell me how much you love me.
So is there anything that maybe you want to bring up before I get you off of here?
No, we talked about quite a bit. I mean, there's some other cool stuff coming up. Obviously, there's in April, I have a new book coming out from Dark Horse called Monsters Are My Business. The first issue comes out in April. I have Gatchaman is coming out in May. The first issue comes out, or the zero issue comes out on Free Comic Book Day. And then, like I said, there's a ton of books coming from Outland Entertainment. But really, if you subscribe to that newsletter of mine, you can find you'll get a lowdown on everything as it's coming for sure.
Okay. All right, man. Well, it's been great talking to you tonight. I really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, and thanks for having me.
Maybe we can get you back on again in the future when we talk about some more of the different stuff that you've done.
You know it.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Calling all seekers of the supernatural, all those drawn to the unknown. I am Cosplayed with 637, and I'm here to introduce you to the podcast that will redefine your understanding of the extraordinary. Welcome to The Order, the podcast. Existing inside the Order, there is the legend
of the Chosen One. Join Eric Von Connors, a half-vampire, half-angel, alongside his remarkable team, Van Helsing, Bella Helsing, and Tasha Wolfsbane. Together, they defend the world from the forces of evil while trying to lead somewhat normal lives. Why should you tune in? Because The Order is not just a podcast. It's an immersive journey into a world where supernatural beings, ancient prophecies, and everyday struggle coexist. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. Search for The Order, the podcast, and join me, CosplayDude637, as we unravel the mysteries, explore the extraordinary, and embark on a supernatural adventure like none other. Again, that is The Order, the podcast, where the extraordinary becomes the everyday. Subscribe, share, and let the journey into the unknown begin. Happy listening.
Hey, listeners. I'm glad you're enjoying what you're listening to. I'm Billy from Zero to Hero Podcast. I'll always be joined by Jim, and me and him are the Folk and Skull Podcasting. If you definitely like jumping down rabbit holes from week to week of anything ranging from the old school Power Rangers 90s-esque nostalgia, or we could even be talking about moon landings. So, I know you're interested, so definitely after the show, come check us out. Zio to Hero Podcast.
All right, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed that episode with Cullen Bunn. He was a great guest to have on. I really enjoyed talking to him, and I look forward to getting him back on the show. And maybe I'll see him at some of these cons and everything, since we're starting to set up at those as well. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff happening, and just want to say thank you to Cullen for being on the show, taking time out of his busy schedule to come and talk with me on here and tell me everything that's going on. So while you're waiting on your next episode of iGadapt Drop, why don't you go try out one of my podcast networks that I'm a part of. They've got all kinds of great shows. I'm part of the OIW Podcast Network, the Zio to Hero Podcast Network, and the Avenue Podcast Network. No matter what you're looking for, you will find a cool show to listen to there, and all great people, all great stuff. So go and check them out. I'll have them linked in my show notes. If you want merch, my wife is the one who makes that. Just hit me up and tell me what you want. I've got shirts out. I've got hats. I've got tumblers. I've got coffee mugs, stickers. I'm going to have a lot of different stuff coming. We are going to PTXCon. We'll be there on April 13th. And so you will see a lot of new merch coming out there. My wife has made me some really cool koozies that I think you guys are really going to like. So, yeah, if you need any of this merch, hit me up and let me know what you want. We'll get it shipped out to you right away. So the song at the end of my show is made by a man named D-Cure. He is awesome. If you like the way it sounds, make sure that you hit him up. He's all the time recording really cool music, and I just want to say thank you to him for recording that amazing ending song for me. So, as I was just speaking about doing different cons and stuff like that, I do this with Original Geek a lot of the times, and I want to say thank you to them for bringing me in to be a part of Original Geek and to do all these amazing things that I'm able to do now. And you're going to be seeing all kinds of cool stuff coming from them. The Eighth Day comic actually just released when it comes to them, so make sure that you get your copy of that. It is a double issue, as you heard me say in this week's episode. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of manga inspired, so I think you guys would really enjoy reading it. And so make sure that you go out there to Original Geek. You can go to originalgeekcomics.com and get your copy today of that. Also, pre-orders for Vengeance issue 3 are now live. You can go and order your copy of that. Also, we're going to be doing all kinds of live events, like I said before, so make sure that you check in and see where we're going to be at. I believe the next one is going to be Nick, and he is going to be at Heroes and Wizards Comics in Webb City, Missouri. Go and say hi to him. Get a copy of the newest Eighth Day comic. Maybe get an autograph or something like that, but go out there and see him. Like I said, it's going to be on March 30th that he's going to be doing that. He will be there from 12 to 3, I believe is what it is, so go out there and say hi to him. So I have some cool things that are happening. You've heard me talk about a few of them. I've got a branch off of If You Give a Dad. I'm just going to call it If You Give a Dad a Brand from now on. And I have If You Give a Dad a YouTube channel. That is ran by Ty. He is a guy that I've brought on the show before. I've been on his podcast before. He does all kinds of cool videos and stuff. And so he has started this channel to kind of help people on maybe they're wanting to get started doing a YouTube channel. And he shows you how to be able to do that, how to be able to do that on a budget. He does reviews on different things. The most recent one, I believe, was reviewing a lavalier mic that you can hook up to your phone to make things sound a little bit more professional. So make sure that you go out there and watch his stuff. I will have that linked in my show notes. Also, I have another one coming out, and it was with Cosplay Dude 637, and it's called If You Give a Dad a Cosplay. So he's going to be doing different cosplays, showing you how to do these things, and he's going to be talking to other cosplayers as well on there. So I'm really excited to have that branch coming out here very soon. So as you're listening to this, you've heard me talk about social media and things like that. If you want to follow me on social media, go to any one of them and type in If You Give a Dad a Podcast in the search bar, and you should find me on there. You can Google me. I should be the first 10 to 15 results that you find on there as well. If you want to send me an email, send it to giveadadapodcast@gmail.com. Like I said, I've got all kinds of merch. You can email me if you want to get some of this merch, or you can send me a message on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you guys. I look forward to knowing what you guys want to hear on the show. If you have suggestions or something that you would like me to put in the show, hit me up, send me a message, send me a line. I would love to interact with you guys and to get that stuff going. Also, as you're listening, do me a favor, go out there and rate and review this episode. The more people that do that, the more likely I am to be recommended to more people. And, I love doing this show, and the more people listen, the better. Also, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to this show. Hit that notification bell, that way you are notified when a new episode of iGadap drops. That way you can just stay up to date and see all the different shows that I have here going on. So, we have come to the end of another episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast, and it is time for Billy's favorite part of the show, and that is Dad Joke of the Week. How come the Hulk doesn't lose his pants when he transforms? The experiment altered his genes.
Jared, you stay over there. You stay over there. Yeah, you get back. You get back. Right now.
I'm done with this guy.
Jared, over there.
I'm bad.
No, bad.
Let me out.
I'm getting the spray bottle. I'm getting the spray bottle.
I'm going to swing.
Spray bottle.
I'm going to put them on the wall. Walls of Jared.
All right. I love you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
On. He calls us beautiful people, then tells us who we have on. The best part of my day, the world blocked out in my pods. Tell my friends all about it so that they follow along. And the host is kinda nerdy, but guess what, I am as well. I don't feel so alone, and I began walking out of my shell. Heard a story, I need a connection I haven't felt. I'll be looking for the next one, tell then farewell.
It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. Listen closely, download and tune in remotely. It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. And listen closely, download and tune in remotely.
This podcast is part of the OIW Podcasting Network.
All right, cool, sweet. Baby Jesus. Okay, cool.